pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call.
Roll call. Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau. Director Green.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Nguyen. Director Nguyen. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran. Director Whitaker. Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Yeah, otherwise we have a problem.
It looks like she fell off.
Uh-oh.
The call.
Well, hopefully she'll be back.
We started off.
Had one.
Okay.
Yes, we gotta wait.
All right, we'll have to wait until we get Dina back.
Good.
Talk about wine again.
I guess you can't get her back. That's it. Yeah, we can do some informational items.
Okay. We can.
Do we need to identify the two callers?
The two what?
We could ask them to identify themselves.
Normally, if they were here, they'd sign. Yeah. So why don't we ask them there?
Can we have the callers identify themselves?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Jim Fissler, I end in 4351.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. And end in with 8329.
Yes, this is Craig Parker with the City of Anaheim.
Thanks, Craig. Okay. Is she back?
Director Nguyen?
Here.
Okay.
You do have a quorum with six directors present.
What a hurry. Okay. Shall we start off with the Employee of the Quarter Award?
Yes. Thank you very much, Madam President. And Bruce Dozier will present the Employee of the Quarter.
Thank you. Madam President, members of the board, I'd like to have Thuy Lam come up here. Thuy, I'm proud to announce that Thuy is the Employee of the Quarter. Thuy is a senior programmer analyst in the information systems or information services department here at the district. And she's part of the team that manages and supports information systems, networks, services, and communications used by district staff. Thuy is a very intelligent, very intelligent, enthusiastic, and tireless supporter of systems in the Phil Anthony Water Quality Laboratory. While the lab staff tells me they receive excellent service from the rest of the information services group, Thuy stands out as a person who accepts any request with a smile, smiling now, and regularly produces excellent work and solutions with a short turnaround time. Over the last 2.5 years, Thuy's operated as a lead programmer to replace the 20-plus-year-old Aspen Laboratory Information Management System, or called LIMS for abbreviation. Aspen has not been supported by its original developer for a long, long time, and it's been increasingly unstable and unreliable. The LIMS system is crucial to the lab's workflow, sample tracking, and quality control. managing samples from the time they arrive all the way through data reporting. Over a 2.5 year period, TWE utilized her expert technical abilities to completely rebuild the LIMS on a more current platform while allowing continued operations and thoughtful transition away from the outdated version. TWE took feedback from the lab staff to not only ensure core functionality was maintained in the newly titled, we called it Citrus. The lab called it Citrus. The old version was named after a tree. So they named the new version after a tree, a citrus tree, but also incorporated many improvements to both the underlying structure of the software and enhancing various aspects to increase the lab's efficiency. With the initial development of the LIMS system now completed, of Citrus completed, the lab has fully transitioned away from the outdated Aspen system, making a major milestone that could not have been possible without TWE's dedication to the project. Now, bear in mind, most of the system was developed during the pandemic, and TWE and the lab made extensive use of video conferencing tools, Zoom and mostly Microsoft Teams here, but video conferencing tools in developing the system, and now find that to be a critical piece of software to use in anything they do. Whenever the lab makes a request, she's glad to take it on, is not afraid to tackle a complicated solution to produce the best outcome. She's a team player and consistently demonstrates a willingness to help the district staff and fellow staff in information services as well. She is highly deserving of the Employee of the Quarter Award. Please join me in congratulating TWE Lam as the Employee of the Quarter. And there's a certificate up here for TWE, presented to TWE. And if you want
personally signed by the general manager,
want to say thank you.
TWE, can you come up and we'll take a picture? Oh, that's cool.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
All right. Now is the time for visitor participation. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? Anybody?
No hands.
No hands? Okay. Shall we move to the consent calendar? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right.
Okay. Roll call. Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau? Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon? Director Tran? Director Whitaker? Director Yeo?
Yeah.
Okay, that motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Bilodeau, Sheldon, Tran, and Whitaker absent.
Okay. Our next item is award contract to the City of Orange Wells 2021 and 22 PFAS treatment systems to
Caliagua.
Caliagua, Inc.
Thank you, Madam President. You got that perfectly. this evening we're going to have Mr. Chris Olson present this item before the board.
He's all dressed up.
Chris?
I'm always dressed up. Oh, thanks, Mike, and good evening, Madam President, members of the board. This is a construction contract award for those three wells for the City of Orange. We'll start off looking at our service boundary here, and the city of Orange shown right there is their service territory. So we zoom in for those particular three wells. It's wells, well number 20, which is right by the Santa Ana River and Chapman. Well 21, just north of Taft Avenue, and well 22 by Collins Avenue. So three wells, one construction contract. You've seen similar layouts. This is a rendering of a one vessel lead lag system. For well 20, there's going to be one of these. For well 21, it's two. And for well 22, it's one. And of course, those are based on the flow rate productions of the individual wells. So we advertise construction contract documents on February 14th. There were three addenda, and they were just for revisions to contract documents, specifications, and plan sheets. We only received two bids, April 11th. And what's been going on is there's a lot of work out there. There's a lot of contracts being bid. The contractors themselves are very busy. We only got two on this particular job. They were close bids. You can see we have Caliagua, Pacific Hydrotech there also. Both contractors are currently doing PFAS treatment work for us. So we know that we know their work and they're capable of doing this. Caliagua's bid is just a little lower, $9.56 million, and everything was in order. And that is going to be our recommendation, is to award to Caliagua. Looking at the project budget, we have the design and construction management being taken care of by Kennedy Jenks through our on-call PFAS design consultants. With the vessel system purchased through Aqueous FETS, the resin purchased through Evoqua as part of our two-year resin deal. We're currently in year two, just started that, by the way, for the resin deal. So those are incorporated into the project. The construction contract 9.56, a 5% contingency, and we're at $14.156 million for this project. We have applied for $5 million in grant funding for this project. Looking at the schedule, design's complete. The DDW permitting is ongoing. We're at the bid award. And this is going to be a one-year project duration for these three wells. And with that, the recommendations are to receive and file the affidavit publication notice inviting bids for the contract, ratify issuance of the addenda 1 through 3, accept the bid and award it to Caliagua for $9.56 million, and establish the project budget in the amount of $14.156 million. And with that, we could answer any questions.
Director Yeo.
Thank you, President Green. Chris, thank you. What was the engineer's estimate on this project for the capital?
The estimate was 7.5. Yeah, I know. We've been seeing increases. The electrical components alone were $2.5 million, which was almost $1.5 million over what was originally estimated.
Yeah, since we only got two bidders, however, their bids are relatively close. So that reflects the condition out there, right? The bidding environment. So what were the items that caused the increases? Were they related to materials?
Well, yes, there's materials there. For this one, we pre-purchased the vessels, so it's things like valves and meters. It's those kind of things which generally you had a good pricing on. They're all going up. You're seeing 20-25% increases in a lot of the materials these days. That electrical and the communications component, again, that's about $1.5 million more than we estimated. So you're just seeing it across the board with materials increases.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we we've been experiencing in my part of the world in Caltrans. We've seen a lot of cost increases. That's why it prompted me to ask what was the engineer's estimate. So it's about 20% over the engineer's estimate.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think this is really about the first project, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, where there has been an underestimation of the project cost. I do know that some of these systems where we're working on existing well sites in the different cities, we're having to change out some older systems also, whether it be electrical or tying into the instrumentation. As Chris mentioned, over $1 million was just on the electrical side. So I think what we need to do in the future is take a little closer look at those types of issues and make sure that we have enough money budgeted to handle those types of issues.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I have no further questions.
Director Rowe?
Yes, I have a question about the grant funding. I know we have applied for $5 million grant funding for individual projects. Have we gotten any results on funding yet?
Not yet. No, we have the applications in with the State Water Resources Control Board through the SRF program. And we are just waiting for them to process those applications and award the monies. To our knowledge, the state has not awarded any money to any PFAS projects statewide as of yet. So
curious to know why, what's holding them up, because we still have these bills. I was wondering if there's a benefit to separating out the wellheads, or, you know, so that we can try apply for other grants. If you have two wells in one grant request, if you have two grants with two wells, that might generate more funding.
Typically with the grants, we can only receive up to 50% funding on projects. So that's kind of the driver as to what the dollar amount is that we apply for.
Okay, just looking to see how we can try to get more money in here. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't.
No hands on Zoom?
Hands, okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move the item.
Have a second? Okay.
Roll call, Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 7 yes votes, with Directors Bilodeau, Sheldon, and Tran absent.
Okay, we're moving into our informational items, PFAS update.
We do have a couple short verbal present, well, one verbal anyway. Jason Dadakis will give us give the board a verbal update on the regulatory issues regarding PFAS.
Great, thanks, Mike. Good evening, members of the board. Yeah, just a brief verbal update for me on the regulatory side of PFAS. We're still in the midst of EPA's 60-day comment period for their proposed national PFAS drinking water regulation. However, tomorrow, EPA is having a virtual public hearing on the proposed regulation. I'm signed up to give a 2.5-minute statement and intend to center my remarks on EPA's first, the underestimate of the cost. We believe pretty strongly there. They're underestimating the cost of the proposed rule. An allowance for more time for utilities to comply with the regulation. The standard is 3 years. I think we have concerns about, given likely the rush and increase in projects nationally and some of the issues Chris highlighted in this most recent contract, that the feasibility of 3 years just isn't going to be there. And so we think EPA has an ability to allow up to 2 more years for these to be implemented. We're supportive of that. And then also, we've talked about this, just some concerns about that new hazard index concept that's being proposed for PFAS. We'll express some reservations about that. So again, that's tomorrow. And then also want to mention, we received word late this afternoon from our federal lobbyist that Senator Loomis from Wyoming has just introduced several CERCLA liability exemption bills in the Senate, including one to specifically address water and wastewater utility exemptions from liability. And so the language of the bill tracks well with what we worked on with other agencies and stakeholders earlier this year. And this is just the start of that legislative process, but Eric Saperstein will be on and tomorrow at ComLedge, and we'll give a full report on that. But we did want to make the board aware of that tonight. We just heard about that today. So that's it. That concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions, or I can turn it over to Chris to give the construction update.
You have any questions for Jason? I don't see any hands. Nope. Okay. Chris?
Hi again. This won't be as quick as that, but... you know, with all the ones in construction, I've just got photos to keep sharing. So here's the graph, the bar chart you've seen before. We currently now have 22 wells that are in operation, 30 in construction, and 6 are in the design phase of our current 58 wells in the program. Now, the way we're looking at it now is how it looks on a schedule. We've got quite a few of them that are going to be operational in the next couple months. And then beyond that, and within the next year, there are a lot of them are going to be online. There's only a few that are going to carry on beyond one more year. And that's a couple of them for Orange and some maybe a Santa Ana one. But for the most part, we're going to have quite a bit operational in the next few months, this summer, and then within a year from now, majority of those 58, it's probably going to be about 52 of them will be operational. So what's remaining? We have with Garden Grove, we have the three that are operational. Those are shown in blue, 21, 29, and 30. Still have two in construction. That's 23 and 28. That's the Lamson Reservoir we've talked about before. And then there's one that's in design. That's number 19. For 23 and 28, we're right there. It's just been, we've had delays. So the wells have been started up. The contractor's completing testing tie-in, and we're scheduled for resin installation end of this month, which means early June, probably first week of June, they should be back and running, if not by the end of this month. So that'll be great. That'll close out that Garden Grove contract that's been going on for a while. Looking at East Orange County for their two wells under construction, the contractor's working on equipping the chlorine disinfection building. That's the picture on the left. And tie-ins to their existing water lines in the street, picture on the right. Once that happens, they'll get into the final electrical duct bank work and other tie-ins that are necessary. This site is looking to be online this summer. So just in probably about 3 or 4 months, it'll be online for East Orange County. Looking at IRWD's OPA-1 well in construction. This is the one that's in the recessed concrete pit. Contractors working on backfilling between the foundation and the shoring. Once that's done, they'll remove the shoring. A lot of on-site piping going on to and from the IX treatment system. This one's a little bit later than summer. It's gonna be fall. So operational this fall. At Anaheim, lots going on at Anaheim. As we know, there's two phases, A and B. Phase A is for these 8 wells at 4 locations. La Palma, number 49, is operational. It's been that way for about a month and a half now. The Linda Vista site for those 5 wells is getting really close. Here's a shot showing the operations building vessels in the background. We're working on scheduling that resin delivery, which is supposed to happen next week. So what we're going to do is have the first 6 vessel systems loaded. They're still working on some of the well rehab, so they can get up to 6 of those vessel systems up and running. Starting next week, it's going to be a 2-week delivery for the resins each system, and then they'll be up and running. So it should be end of May that this Linda Vista site is up and running. It won't be the full capacity, but because they're still working on some of the well rehab, but it's going to be up and running and getting those high production wells flowing with treatment. So the other couple of the sites, this is the Boysen Park site where they're just installed the vessels over there, working on pipelines. Similarly, over at the Energy Field, photo not shown, but similar kind of time frame here. Both of them expected to be online this summer, and that would be all Phase A online by this summer. And this is the Phase B wells, which are all under construction right now. It's 6 wells at 5 locations. The Brookhurst, Willow Park, Downtown, Catella, and the Santa Cruz has those 2 well sites, 2 wells on one site. Picture on the left, that's the over-excavation for the vessel pad for the Santa Cruz site for those 60 and 61 wells. Picture on the right, that's Downtown Well 54, doing the same thing, getting the over-excavation done, ready for rebar and forming for the vessel foundations. At the Brookhurst site, similar, they're doing excavation, getting ready for the vessel pad, then they'll move on to underground utilities. Willow Park, they're just starting with some of the demo and early site work. But all of these are scheduled to be online and operational this fall. Or actually, it says winter now. In distribution this fall, completed by the winter. Golden State, we have 2 sites under construction, Bradford Well 4, Fairhaven 1 and 3. This picture is of Fairhaven. Both are on the similar path. We had a little bit of delay here with Fairhaven, not with this contract. Golden State found their downstream conveyance pipe needed some work. It needed a little bit of repair. So it's going to be a couple month delay to get the Fairhaven site up and running. Bradford well site is being scheduled for end of this month also to be resin loaded and up and running. Over at Fullerton, where we have our granular activated carbon system that we're building there for wells 3A and 7A, they have the frontage wall complete. Landscaping will be next. Working on on-site water pipelines and power communications have been complete on site. And what that means is those other three wells that aren't part of the PFAS program are able to be up and running. So they've had to wait while we did this work to get those other three wells up and running. And what you see here is the GAC, the vessel foundation rebar install. This project is looking like a September, October timeframe for being operational. At Tustin, the four wells under construction, they all lead to a centralized treatment plant at their main plant site with a conveyance pipeline as part of the project. And it's been a lot of demo work at the main plant. And what you're seeing right here is just the shoring installation. And it's being completed, and then they're going to get into the over excavation and preparation for installation of the effluent pipeline on site. This one's about a year and a half out. With the pipeline and all the work on the site, it's going to be about a year and a half. At Orange, I went ahead and put those three wells as in construction. Hopefully we were going to get it approved tonight, which it did. So 2021-22 are considered now under construction with 9, 19, 23, and 24 operational. And then the city themselves are working on 28 and 29 in the design phase to get those under construction in the near future. At Santa Ana, we have the four wells. 31 is near completion for design. 27, 28, just a little bit behind that as they're working out some of the deals and things that we need to incorporate for that design package. But the good news is 40 will be operational tomorrow. It got resin loaded last week. So all four vessels are loaded, it passed the tests, and it will be operational tomorrow morning. And that's for Santa Ana. And that concludes the update. You can take any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Can you go back to the Santa Ana slide, please? There you go. You had indicated kind of the end that there were some things happening the last two wells.
Yeah, at wells 27 and 28, as you know, as we get into these designs, we look at, okay, what does it take to get this operational? Is a booster system necessary? And then I think it might have been a little oversight with our consultant. They realized later on, oh, the electrical is not going to be sufficient. And then the city came back and said, yeah, we've had some issues with the electrical components out there. So it's going to be replaced as part of the project, but it needs a little bit more work to investigate and evaluate what it will take. And everybody's on board with that. Caesar's in the loop, and we're working forward to get that taken care of.
And so what's the timeline? And I'll check with Caesar tomorrow, but just for the purpose of this meeting, what is the time? I will always ask.
I say, you're going to hold me to that.
When it comes to Santa Ana issues.
Yeah, so the timeline is probably about 3 months before we can be ready to advertise that one.
Okay, great.
Whereas 31, I'd say probably 3 to 4. 31 is probably a month out.
Okay, perfect. And I'll check in with Caesar tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's it. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to committee meetings, retirement. Chair Rowe?
It's contained in the packet. It's also item number 3. Thank you.
Okay. Joint planning, it's in the packet. Verbal reports. I don't have a report. General manager?
Just a reminder to the board that we do have a special joint board meeting with MODOC Friday morning, and that will be an in-person meeting only, and it will be held here in the boardroom.
Okay. Director's reports. Director Sheldon?
Well, thank you, Madam President. Is the joint meeting available on Zoom for the public to participate and observe?
Absolutely.
It will be on Zoom.
It will not be on Zoom. I'm sorry. It's a in-person meeting, but it is a noticed public meeting.
Was there a decision to not have it on Zoom?
That's a good question. I don't know that that was discussed.
I believe that the issues of importance and of interest to the public. So I thought it would be more available to those that want to. Is it too late to put it on Zoom if it's a pleasure?
No, I don't think so. I think we could probably.
Do any of the directors have any concerns?
I mean,
not to, or
I don't see why we shouldn't include Zoom participation.
When we had ours, it was in person only.
Correct.
And when MODOC had theirs, just through their, it was in person.
Yes.
And I think there was a discussion, and we said
there might have been. It just escapes me.
Me too. I can't remember the particulars, but I think it was even advertised as in person only. Yes, Director Amezcua.
Dr. Sheldon, are you asking to have for the directors to be on Zoom, or you're just for the public?
No, for the public to be able to see the directors in the conversation, the dialogue.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I'm just thinking out loud.
That's fine. I just wanted to be sure. So was it
sort of just wondering and if it was happening, and then how everyone feels about it. That's all.
But okay.
If it's the pleasure of the board.
Thank you.
It is the pleasure of the board. And I think, as President Green said, that the other meetings were in person and weren't teleconference. So we just, I think, assumed. And you know what happens when you assume something. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think anyone's done anything wrong. I just think that's right. Just no one's done just a
is decision. There a post,
yeah, just a question. Simply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this change too. Remember when I made this, recommendation, it was really supposed to be a retreat, and I thought it was going to be all day, so that we could really hash out things. Now it's going to be 2 hours, so it's changed a lot.
May I ask another question, Madam? Mm-hmm. Is there the 2 hours struck me as not enough time?
I agree.
Was the reason behind the time limitation?
There is no limitation as to the time. If the meeting goes longer than 2 hours, or if the conversation extends beyond that point in time, I don't think there's any issue why it can't go beyond what was on the agenda.
I understand that. Can you always go longer? Is there a reason why it was a 2 hour time period? Why that was?
I think you were as surprised as I was.
Maybe there's, because our meetings, right, like tonight doesn't have an ending time.
True.
It has a start time that meeting has an ending time. And so people might make scheduling based upon that ending time. And so there'd be an inference that it's not that it legally has to end at that time, but that's just, I was wondering, the 2 hour time period seemed interesting to me.
Jeremy.
Just thank you, Madam President. Just, I was looking at the meeting notice. So there's nothing about a particular time frame. I mean, for planning purposes, I don't know if people have said it's gonna be 2 hours, but you're certainly free to go as long as you think you need to. And there is nothing, there's no indication that there'll be any kind of virtual participation, but that doesn't mean the board couldn't choose to add that option if they desire. It's pleasure of the board.
Hey, Director Mink.
Because it's a joint meeting, I don't know can this board make a unilateral decision to change the format of the meeting?
Nope.
Okay. So I'm not sure we can do that.
And I think that's the way it was advertised.
Madam President, may I ask another question? Thank you. if it's lawful to add it, would it be appropriate to ask if the other, if MODOC would like to join having added? At least we can ask the question. Can't hurt to ask the question.
I don't have any objection to it. I just don't want to delay the meeting because of a procedural issue.
Agreed.
Yeah, they might not have an opportunity to change the format because they're not going to meet before Friday.
I attended their meeting this morning, and there was no discussion regarding the length or it being in person only.
Does the board have a feeling one way or not if we can ask the question?
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. I want to make sure we're.
I mean, I don't
taking mind. Any action.
No. I think it's just if they agree, then we can. If they can't, then we won't.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really. It's just direction to staff. I mean, but I would say that. It's a special meeting, so you want to get it. You want to, whatever you're going to do, if you're going to change the agenda, you want to get it done by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. That way, 24-hour notice.
That would, you mean adding the Zoom would be?
Well, yes. You'd change the agenda to add Zoom on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you would do. Because otherwise, how would the public know?
But yeah, you'd update the agenda. But I mean,
right.
At that particular time, if we all decided that we wanted to put it on Zoom, just hypothetically, on Friday morning at 8:55, could we do that? Or is that not allowed under the noticing?
Well, I mean, could you have it? But then you'd have the public would have no way of knowing about it. You really are not supposed to change the agenda. I mean, people make minor deviations sometimes, but for the most part, you're supposed to have, if for a special meeting, you're supposed to have your agenda done 24 hours.
I understand the agenda is like the subject matter of what's on the agenda, what's discussed or could take an action on,
right.
Not like the venue. Like if this room for some reason had a water leak and we had to move next door, that would be a reasonable, that's not the agenda is what's going to be talked about. Not, I mean, I know it's the address. I just didn't see it as being a.
Yeah, the idea is, and I understand your point, Director Sheldon, it's a good point. The idea is you're supposed to post it. I mean, online kind of makes things a little bit different, but the idea is you're supposed to post what your agenda is going to be for a special meeting at least 24 hours beforehand. 72 hours beforehand for a regular meeting. So the idea is you don't change it after that. Do people do it sometimes? Sure. I mean, you're actually adding additional public participation, not less. It's a good point. I mean, I think the best practice, if we can do it, if you're going to add that, you know, talk to MODOC and have it done before 9 a.m. tomorrow. That way you can, because then there's no issue at all because it's 24 hours out.
Is that difficult to achieve?
Well, I could ask their general manager, but I don't know whether he would have the authority to make that decision or not.
All right, we just ask him.
I can ask Harvey. Sure, I'll do that.
And mm-hmm. I know there. Yeah, these agenda issues are you know, we're getting used to them, and you have directors forgetting about meetings and all kinds of stuff. So, thank you.
Yeah, but it's still problematic in that we can't check with their board. I mean, maybe does anybody have a problem with it on this board?
No.
Okay. Director Rowe?
Well, I think it's appropriate that we include Zoom participation for the public to listen in as to, and maybe even participate themselves. Notice also that all of our meetings are recorded so people can access them later. But if we could get permission from MODOC to put Zoom on the agenda for this meeting, I think it would be appropriate. Thank you.
I don't think we have time. Director Omezcua?
So that was going to be my comment, and it doesn't matter to me either about the Zoom. I'm okay with it. However, based on the agenda's already been posted, you'd have to contact MODOC and then change it by 9 o'clock in the morning. So I think somebody said something about rescheduling. I don't want to have to reschedule or make any big changes. I know it's my first time, but I was like, I don't want to reschedule. It was kind of hard for Christina to get us all the same day. And also I had concerns about the 2-hour window for the meeting. This will be my first time, but I just thought it was
it's kind of a very short meeting. So I'm glad to hear that if we needed to go over, that we can. Not that I want to be here all day, but just saying that if we needed to go over, that we can go over. It's an agenda issue for me and having to make changes and then calling them and posting by 9. I don't know if we can do that. So
yeah. If I could just make one, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. So if it's easy to get done, I don't know if our board ever gave direction one way or another and staff made the determination. I don't know whether their board gave direction one way or another and staff made the determination. I feel that's the case. So their staff could make a different determination unless one had differently had been made by the board. But if it's a big deal that causes any friction, then let's not enter this meeting together with already friction already on the table.
I will contact their general manager. And
That's what I'd recommend, just because it's actually the discussion we're having right now. It's a good conversation about an upcoming meeting. But actually, since it's not on the agenda, the board shouldn't take any action. But what you have done is discussed it. General manager's heard the comments. He's going to talk to MODOC's general manager. Right. And it sounds like based on what the board has stated, if it can be done before 9 a.m., if they have no objection, then it's something they can make a change on. And if not, no big deal. We go with the format as specified. That sound right?
Yes.
Okay.
General counsel.
Thanks. But more talking than normal. Right. We have two closed sessions pursuant to government code section 54956.9 and to discuss pending litigation. And with that, I recommend we recess to closed session.
Okay. We are recessed.
Hey, you've returned from closed session pursuant to government code 54956.9, and there are no reportable items.
Hey, we are adjourned 7:41.